a form of anxiety, correct?
Yes.
But do people often get more of like this blanket diagnosis of just like a generalized anxiety disorder?
Yes. OCD is the doubting disorder, and it latches onto things that you love. This overwhelming, constant thought.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear you word it as the doubting disorder. I think that makes a lot more sense and is easier to wrap your head around, because when a lot of people think of OCD, they only think of compulsion in like the form of repetitive action. Mm-hmm. I remember watching this show at some point when I was maybe in high school, and this person, their fixation, I guess, at that time, if they locked the door to their house, they needed to check again and again and again that it was actually locked. And I think that's the only type of OCD that a lot of people think of. And it doesn't sound like that's really representative of what it is.
Yeah, no, it's not, because rumination is considered a compulsion, and that's you're not doing something physical. You're just constantly thinking
again and again. Yeah.
And that causes a ton of stress. That's something that I'm like the queen of rumination.
I've been there, so I get
And you know, it's super stressful. But like you said too, like the TV shows and everything, people use OCD as an adjective. Mm-hmm. And I try not to let it get to me, because I get it. Not everyone knows about it like how I do. They're, you know, like, oh my gosh, my room has to be clean. Like, I'm so OCD. And I'm like,
that's not what it is.
Let's link up with Krista on The Fix. She's a wellness coach with a focus on mental well-being and physical strength.
What's going on, Fix listeners? Welcome back to our latest episode of the Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Huber, and today I'm so excited because I've been promising you guys this for a few weeks, and we're officially making it happen. We have our first client interview on the Fix Podcast. I am here in studio. If you are watching us on YouTube, you can see us in the studio with my amazing client turned friend too, Amanda. And we're going to talk all things about the Fitness Fix program, her experience so far. You've been with me for what, like 8 months, I think. We're coming up on 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be a year in like right around like November, right before Christmas.
Yes.
And she's made some amazing progress in that time. But Amanda has also been kind enough to share a little bit more about her personal experience. So in this episode, you will hear all about the Fitness Fix program and what it's been like for her. More importantly, I'd argue, though, we are going to talk about mental health. We're going to talk about OCD, Amanda's experience in growing up with it, and how that's really been a factor in the way we've kind of approached her coaching inside of this program, and just looking at her health and her overall wellness from a completely holistic aspect. So if any of that resonates with you, I can promise there is something for everybody inside of this episode, and I'm excited to get right into it. So we're going to do it. As you know, from being a longtime listener of the show, Amanda, we kick it off as a little icebreaker with our coffee question. And I know you drink coffee. So tell the Fix listeners what your go-to coffee order is.
Okay. Well, first off, thank you for having me.
Of course.
Super excited to be the first client on here. Been waiting for this moment. So my go-to coffee order, I mean, I'm an iced coffee girl. I will never do hot. I don't like No matter the season. I don't like the way hot tastes after I drink it. It's just something about it I don't like. My friend Ellen has a coffee shop in Wall. It's actually called Ocean Brew Coffee.
I've been there before. I know her well.
She has, you can get a cold brew with any flavor cold foam on top. So I'll just get the cold brew with a lavender cold foam on top. Life changing.
Tell me more about this lavender cold foam. I've never really gotten behind it, because it sounds kind of weird, but I'm sure it's
it does, but I can't explain the flavor. It's just like heaven. It tastes so good. It's refreshing. But I don't always go there. So if I don't go there and get that, just simple iced coffee, cream, one sugar.
Nice. Classic. Can't go wrong with that. I'm with you. It could be like negative 25 degrees and I will still have an iced coffee.
Always.
There's just something about it. It's more refreshing. I appreciate hot coffee, but I just don't think you get the flavor.
No, you don't.
To me.
You don't.
Yeah. So glad we're on the same page about that. Yeah. All right. So like we said, we're going to talk a little bit about fitness, a little bit about nutrition, a little bit about mental health, because really all of it goes together. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of kick things off, I think it would probably make sense for us to start a little bit more with like your own backstory and your own health journey. And you know, obviously, I think one of the things that I've learned from you, just even in like the first few meetings we had together, is understanding that there's really different types of OCD.
Yes.
And in your case, having a medical focus, let's call it, mm-hmm. for the type of OCD that you have, it's been something that has presented a few challenges to you when mm-hmm. it comes to taking care of yourself and taking care of your health. So let's kind of break that down and jump into that piece of it and just tell me a little bit about your history with it. Have you dealt with this since you were a teenager? Mm-hmm. How has it impacted your life? Wherever you want to go with it.
Yeah. So I'll start from the beginning. So my dad, who, as you know, I don't really have a relationship with, mm-hmm. but he was very present growing up until I was about 15. He suffered from OCD. At the time, you know, some of his compulsions and things that he struggled with, I just thought was normal. Mm-hmm. And later to find out that it is genetic. So
I actually didn't know that.
When I was officially diagnosed with OCD, it kind of made sense. But I remember, I mean, even before I got the official, you know, they're like, you have OCD. Mm-hmm. I remember being in elementary school and I would wash my hands like I was afraid of germs. So I would obsessively wash my hands. Okay. And at the lunch table, I remember I would have my friend wipe down the table and the chair before I sat down. And her mom actually called my mom one day and was like, Amanda's having my daughter wipe down the chair and see every time before she sits down.
You didn't want to touch it?
I didn't want to touch it until it was cleaned.
Okay.
And I didn't, I just thought like that was just normal.
Sure.
And I'm trying to think. Then, you know, I went into middle school and I had my first panic attack. Didn't mm-hmm. know it was a panic attack. Went to the nurse, said I was dizzy, I was spinning. And, you know, that at that point, I was going to therapy because my parents had divorced. And, you know, everyone said, you just have anxiety and this, you're having panic attacks. And mm-hmm. I went to doctor. It was definitely a struggle until high school. I found this clinic at Rutgers that specialize in anxiety. And that's when they officially diagnosed me with OCD. From that point on, it was life-changing. I got the help that I needed. Seeing somebody that specializes in OCD mm-hmm. is what you need to do. Talk therapy, they'll say, really isn't the best for somebody with OCD. You need to do, which is the gold standard, exposure response prevention. So you're doing ERP, and essentially what that is you're exposing yourself really to what's bothering you. So at that time, when I was going to Rutgers, that clinic, I had issues with driving. I was petrified of driving. I thought I was going to pass out behind the wheel. The doctor at the time actually went into the car with me. He sat in the passenger seat and he would make me drive. And that really, I continue to do that now with my therapist now. It's really whatever the theme, and we'll get into the themes too. Yeah. The themes change all the time. And whatever the theme was, I was always exposing myself to that. But also going back to the doctors too, finding somebody that specializes in that. And, you know, I'll share this story. I was in high school. I was seeing a doctor who didn't really, understand OCD. Mm-hmm. And my theme at the time was self-harm. And not that I had any intention of hurting myself, but I had
a
fear, but okay. I had no intention of doing it. Mm-hmm. And the doctor actually, you know, made my mom take me to the hospital, put me on what they call suicide watch. And they actually sent me to the psychiatric, you know, facility there. And my mom, thank God for my mom. You know, as soon as we got there, she's like, I'm not leaving my daughter here. Like there's something is off here. Mm-hmm. And I thank her every day for taking me home, because then the next day, you know, I found the clinic and I found something. And there's so many people out there that have OCD that aren't diagnosed properly.
Yeah.
And going through an experience like that, thank God I'm strong enough that I'm able to handle that. But mm-hmm. I can't imagine somebody that's not strong to go through that, what that does to them.
Yeah.
And that's why I like to talk about it. And I'm so passionate about talking about it, because I want to make sure that people know that, you know, they're not alone in this, that there is help out there, you know, and there's so many different themes. And when you find somebody that, you know, it's funny, there's so many Instagrams on, you know, OCD and getting help.
Yeah,
and it's always like, it's always like when you find somebody that has the same theme as you, like, you're like, let's talk about it, you know? Yeah. It's just so refreshing. But yeah, that's a little backstory, how I, you know, grew up with it and, you know, getting the help. And, you know, it definitely, you know, has been a struggle when I met you too. OCD ebbs and flows, right? Yeah. So there's months, days, years where it's good, and then same when it's bad. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm in a really good phase.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I feel like we actually, even in our coaching meetings, like we haven't had a conversation about it in a while.
No.
Like a good 3 months.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, and you know, I find myself going, oh, when's it going to come back? When's it going to come back? Which is a terrible thing to do.
Yeah.
But I'm just so used to it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I've learned the tools at this point in my life.
Sure.
Where when it comes back, if it comes back, I'll be able to handle it. But being physically and mentally fit mm-hmm. also plays a role in it, which is a part of the reason why I wanted to start this program, get my body moving, eating right. I mean, that plays a huge factor in it as well.
Yeah. And I want to go back to something really quick about what you mentioned with people not necessarily getting the right diagnosis mm-hmm. or getting misdiagnosed. Clarify this for me. I think that we've talked about this before, but I think it's important for the listener mm-hmm. to understand too. OCD is essentially a form of anxiety, correct?
Yes.
But do people often get more of like this blanket diagnosis of just like a generalized anxiety
yes.
disorder?
Okay. Or they think that they're, for instance, if you have the self-harm theme, they mm-hmm. think they're suicidal.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's such a shame because it's not the case at all. These people have no intention of harming themselves. It's just one of those themes mm-hmm. that OCD is the doubting disorder and it latches onto things that you love. So, you know, relationships is another big one. It latches onto some people are, you know, they'll be married and they'll be like, oh my gosh, is this the person I'm supposed to be with?
Mm-hmm.
But they love that person to death.
Sure.
But it's just this overwhelming, constant thought.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear you word it as the doubting disorder. I think that makes a lot more sense and mm-hmm. is easier to wrap your head around because I feel like, and I'm curious as somebody who experiences OCD, how you would respond to this, because I think when a lot of people think of OCD, they only think of compulsion in like the form of repetitive action.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure a lot of that has to do with like all those TV shows that were out
yes.
there at one point that would show people like, I don't even remember what show this was, and I don't know why I remember this so vividly, but I remember watching this show at some point when I was maybe in high school, and this person had that form of OCD, and their fixation, I guess, at that time, like they had to keep touching things. Like if they locked the door to their house, they needed to check again and again and mm-hmm. again that it was actually locked. And I think that's the only type of OCD that a lot of people think of, and it doesn't sound like that's really representative of what it is.
Yeah. No, it's not, because rumination is considered a compulsion, and that's you're not doing something physical. You're
sure.
just constantly thinking
again and again. Yeah.
And that causes a ton of stress. That's something that I'm like the queen of rumination.
I've been there, so I get it.
And, you know, it's super stressful. But like you said, too, like the TV shows and everything, people use OCD as an adjective.
Mm-hmm.
And I try not to let it get to me because I get it. Not everyone's knows about it like how I do. But they're, you know, like, oh my gosh, my room has to be clean. Like I'm so OCD. And I'm like,
that's not what it is.
You have no idea what OCD is. But yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. And I hear that a lot too. Mm-hmm. It's like it goes hand in hand synonymously with like being a neat freak or like that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's represented in your life? That aspect of it at all?
The neat?
Mm-hmm.
No, my room is a disaster. So, no, I have OCD and my room looks like a bomb went off.
So there you go. That's how we can really break that stereotypical definition right there. Now, going back to this point of themes, when we first met, I think the theme for you, like I said, was very medically focused.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me about that. Like, was there any sort of event that triggered that for you? Like, and maybe everybody's experience is a little bit different, but how do these themes come up? How do you transition from one theme to the next? What does that look like?
I think we'd all like to know how the themes come up and how it just changes. And, you know, I don't know if because I was so focused on getting fit, mm-hmm. you know, when I went to the doctor and I weighed myself and they told me like, hey, you're at an unhealthy number. At that point, I was like, oh, my gosh, like I want to have we've talked about this. I want to have kids soon. Mm-hmm. I want to essentially start a family. Like I can't do it at this weight. Mm-hmm. Not to mention being overweight leads to other health issues. Yeah. So then I start going down that rabbit hole.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, what if I have a heart attack? I'm not eating the right foods. What if I mean, anything that comes along with being unhealthy. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. It was just everything that I was putting into my body. It just started to become an obsession. And it's not just like, you know, somebody that just worried about it. It was like my whole world revolved around mm-hmm. it. And I was scared everything was going to happen to me. Yeah. I was going to go to the hospital. I mean, I was going to the doctors a lot.
Yeah, I remember. And that was like when we first started working together.
I was like, oh my gosh, that has too much fat in it. I'm going to get a blood clot. And I went, I think I ended up getting like 2 ultrasounds to make sure that I didn't have blood clots.
And after going through the experience of going to the doctor and getting that verification, talk us through this a little bit more, because I think this is a part that the average person, unless they experience this themselves, can't appreciate. That didn't make you feel better necessarily, right? Like it wasn't enough for you to say, okay, this person sitting in front of me is telling me that I'm okay. Mm-hmm. What's that like when you're experiencing that?
It's challenging. I mean, at that point, you're like, all right, I need to do like it's on me. Mm-hmm. Like I need to take the action and I need to really step it up. But it's hard because you're already in such a routine with your life and you really have to make major changes.
Yeah. And for you, I think, you know, even when we first discussed coaching together and you shared that with me and were very open about it, one of my biggest questions and just like things to keep front and top of mind that I wouldn't necessarily for another client was, could food tracking lead to more of an obsessive behavior right. and thought process? So tell me how your stance has maybe changed on that or even just kind of evolved, because I know you worked with somebody else before you worked with me.
So food tracking, I actually really love it. And in the beginning, let's be honest, I didn't love it. You know what I mean? Like I was like, I'm going to maybe put 2 things in today and call it a day. Like I'm too lazy to do this. But once you start really tracking it, we started with my weekends, right? Mm-hmm. Like I was like, let's track the weekends, because I was like, it doesn't make sense. I'm eating all the right foods. I tracked one weekend and I was like, holy shit. Like, no wonder I'm not losing weight.
Yeah.
Like I'm eating so much, but in my head, I'm like, I'm fine. And that's when I was like, okay, you know what? Let's start tracking every day. And somehow it hasn't become like an obsession. It's just become a part of my routine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just feel so much better knowing that everything I'm putting into my body, I'm tracking. And of course, tracking, right, it isn't 100%.
No.
Which also I had to come to terms with too, because I was like, I like to be 100% with everything.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note that's literally all of our clients.
Yes.
That's also why all of our clients are really successful. Yeah. That's where the food tracking piece does become a true tool and looking at it as a benefit. Like I've said to a lot of our clients, but I know it's come up in conversations between you and I, this idea of perfectionism, mm-hmm. we can look at it as a strength in yes. this context, but it's a little bit of a slippery slope too, because right. sometimes we use it as like analysis paralysis to be like, oh, well, I'm going out to eat and it can't be perfect, so I can't track mm-hmm. it. So how have you gotten over that?
It's funny. I don't know. I'm shocked that I didn't like spiral and like become super obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. I really am. I don't know. I just think once I started tracking and became self-aware and started seeing the results, that it just became a form of like encouragement and motivation, you know? And I look, as crazy as it sounds, like I look forward to tracking my food. And I go out to eat quite a lot during the summer, but I still somehow make it work with the tracking. Mm-hmm. I know that it's not going to be 100%. And I think just being aware and saying to yourself, hey, this isn't going to be 100%, but I'm getting to as close as I think.
Way better than nothing.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole putting in nothing actually makes me feel worse because I'm holding myself to this, you know, the standard. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if I'm not tracking, then that's not, I'm not getting to that.
Sure. I also think something that you and I have worked on that I've learned in working with you that I'm way more aware of with a new client or clients I've been working with for a long time. And this is probably more of like the therapy piece talking, but changing your identity. You said it earlier in referencing not wanting to food track initially. You were like, I'm too lazy. Yeah. And I think something that I pushed back on you a lot when we were kind of stuck initially. And I'd love for you to talk about this too. Like, I think if you don't mind sharing, if we're going to be totally open, I think a lot of people hesitate to hire a coach because they feel like they might not jump in right away and they might not take advantage of everything it has to offer. You were totally stuck for like 3 months.
Probably right? Longer.
Yeah. And that's okay. But I think to me, and I want to hear from your perspective, but the more I've reflected on how you've grown even in the last 2 months, mm-hmm. I think the biggest shift you've had is I can't tell you the last time I had to say to you, hey, like, do you need to talk to yourself that way? Whereas when we first got started, it was a lot of like, Amanda, are you telling yourself this story that you're lazy when you're not truly a lazy person?
Right.
And I would push back on you and be like, if you're so lazy, why do you do so well in your job? Mm-hmm. Right. And like trying to get you to see some of that contrast.
Yeah. I think it's really easy to tell yourself a story, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's comfortable.
Yeah.
It's so much like if I could just say I'm lazy, it's almost as a reason to not track, right? Like I'm lazy, so I'm not going to track. But I'm not. Like I like to, I'm not a lazy person and no. I want to track. But it's just, like you said, it's just the story we tell ourselves. And it really did take me a long time because I had to change my mindset. Mm-hmm. I was in such a rut at that point, and we had talked about it. I was with a coach previously and it was so black and white. Like it was either you did this or you did this and that was it. And I had no flexibility. I wasn't living the life that I wanted to. I wasn't eating the foods that I wanted to. The workouts were unreal. Like it just wasn't a right mm-hmm. fit. And, you know, joining this program and, you know, we had mentioned this in the beginning, you know, why I wanted to join. Me and you had a call at first and we just hit it off really well.
Yeah.
But you really focused on living your life and still being able to lose the weight and get healthy. And you're not really like, I'm not really changing much. Mm-hmm. And life changing.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. I think it was really cool to see how you kind of came in with this fixed mindset of like, well, I learned this, and this. Mm-hmm. And I even think that kind of backfired on you a little bit because initially the goal with that coach at the time, you were preparing for your wedding, mm-hmm. right? And if I remember the story correctly, I think you went to your bachelorette weekend and it was just like, fuck this, all bets are off. And a lot of brides struggle with that because the timing of how a lot of those events happen is even if you were working with somebody for a while, one, I think most people don't give themselves enough time and like we could do a whole podcast about that. But two, what I wind up seeing is like the 2 to 3 months before somebody's wedding, they have a lot of these going out to eat situations, travel, how many bridal showers might you have, like different sides of the family, like mm-hmm. all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And if you never learn how to track while going out to eat, how to fit in alcohol, find that flexibility, then you just kind of say, F it. And I feel like that was exactly what happened to you so that when you came back from that trip, I don't know how much time you had in between until your actual wedding day, but you were just kind of like, I can't do this.
Yeah, I had about 5 or 6 months.
Okay.
And honestly, and we talked about this, I look mm-hmm. at my wedding pictures and I'm like, ugh. But I still was happier than when I was on the program mm-hmm. because I was enjoying myself.
Sure.
I wasn't the healthiest, but I wasn't – I mean, I was eating the calories that I was given to eat was insane. And I was starving.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing zero progress, which makes now that, you know, working with like makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, the wedding pictures, definitely a struggle. But it's funny, like I weigh more now than I did on my wedding day and I look better now, which is crazy.
Yeah. And you tell me, I'm going to, you know, test you and your knowledge because I know you have the answers to this. Why do you look better now? What have we focused on that's changed that for you?
Fueling my body with food and, you know, focusing on weights and lifting and the gym. But I'm eating more now than I was. And that, and I was scared of that.
Yeah.
But it's made such a difference.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the caveat to all of that is, and you're such a good example of this because you hinted at it with talking about your weekends and realizing that it's really easy. Like, I think we should put some numbers on this just to give everybody context because I can totally do this and I know you can too. It is not hard when you go out to eat and you have like four drinks to wind up consuming 3,000 calories for the day.
Easily.
And people don't realize that because they don't track their food. So you totally miss out on this just math equation of, hey, if I do this four weekends in a row, there's this 12,000 calories that you did not account for. That's a lot of calories.
And that was me.
There's your couple pounds right there.
Yeah. I'm like, well, this doesn't make sense because I'm doing so well. You're like, you literally haven't tracked your weekends. So, and, you know, another big thing too, which we can get into is like the alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, cutting that out, which also plays effect on your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Not drinking. I mean, I'll have a drink maybe now on the weekend or two. And that's really all I've been doing. I feel so much better. I wake up, I feel refreshed. I can go on a walk. I can go to the gym. And, you know, when I would drink a lot on the weekends, like I would have really bad anxiety the next day, mm-hmm. which then, you know, really triggers my OCD. And it's just, it's really nice not to feel like I have to drink just because I'm in these social settings.
And to expand on that piece a little bit more, because you mentioned you like to go out to eat, you like to socialize, you're a social person, like you just have that very bubbly mm-hmm. extroverted personality. What has that transition been like for you? Coming into this program with this rule, let's call it, or this idea in your head where you thought to yourself, oh, when I'm in these social settings, of course I'm gonna have like four or five drinks. How have you been able to make that change?
Thankfully, I have a really supportive husband and my friends are really supportive too. I mean, there's an occasional few, which I get it. They really like to drink and don't understand why. Fine. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It just doesn't serve me at this point in my mm-hmm. life. And if they're going to harp on it, then like that's their own problem.
Yeah.
I just, you know what I never understood is why me drinking affects them.
Exactly.
I don't understand. You can get as drunk as you want.
Have fun.
What does me drinking? I'm going to have fun. If I was in the corner being a mute and not having fun, then I could understand you sure. being like, what's
they
wrong?
Think you're being a Debbie Downer. Yeah.
But I went out last weekend with my girlfriend. She had no, she goes, you haven't drank once this whole night? I said, no. And you wouldn't have known, right?
Right.
Like, what does it matter to you though?
Yeah. I think a lot of it is it's the mirror and that person deep down recognizes that it's not a healthy habit
mm-hmm.
and they see that you have the structure, discipline, willpower, whatever you want to call it to be able to make that decision. And when I reference the mirror, I mean, it's right in front of them and it's magnifying the fact that they might not have that discipline to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of deflect by pushing it back on you. And psychologically, human beings are wired to want to fit into groups. It's how we survive. So then somebody calls you out about it and it becomes that much more difficult for you to not be peer pressured into it because you want to mm-hmm. fit in. You don't want to be the person that's yeah. like standing out. And I joke about this. Like I have other coach friends that we joke about this with. I've had conversations probably on this podcast where we've said, like, if your friends are giving you that much shit for that, get new friends. And, like, it shouldn't be funny because it becomes a question of, like, the people that you're hanging out with, do they have the same values as
right.
you? Like, do they prioritize their health? That might sound harsh, but you mentioned huge benefits. Better sleep, more energy. We didn't even touch on it, but probably your digestion has improved as a result of it too.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest change from a mental health perspective with reduced anxiety, I just don't even think you recognize the correlation between the two until I pointed it out to you once and was like, hey, don't you notice that you feel better?
Yeah.
Or I actually think that might have come up for you because you had a weekend where you had more drinks than usual.
Yes.
And then the next day you were like, oh my God, I'm so anxious today and I don't know why.
Yeah. And it's not even worth it. The next day, I'm like, what was the point?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really understand what the point of it was. And I'd honestly rather five Diet Cokes than five vodka sodas, yeah, to be honest.
Diet Coke. A little lemon in there. It's so good.
That's all I need. And it tastes 10 times better.
Yeah, exactly. So moving a little bit more into this whole concept of like, maybe you start with a program like this, but you don't fully get started right away. And there's a little bit of that delay. You know, we hinted at the fact that that was kind of your experience.
Yes.
But I want to highlight the shift that you've had in the last, I would say like 3 months, probably. Mm-hmm. If we think about like when you were like, okay, like it's time for me to really go all in on every aspect. In that time, like you mentioned, you're consistently eating more food. Mm-hmm. And consistently, and I'd also add intentionally, yes, eating more food, because that's kind of where I was going with referencing this idea of like, you could consume these 3,000 calories without recognizing it. We've put you in a position where we're eating way more than this 1,600, 1,800 calorie diet so that your body is used to purposefully consuming that amount of food. Good quality, of course, but as you've kind of gotten more consistent and just really focus on one thing at a time, in the last 2 months, you've lost like 7 pounds, mm-hmm, which is awesome. And mm-hmm, I'm super proud of you for that. And you've also gotten way more consistent in your fitness routine.
Yes.
But I think it'd be helpful if you shared with people an area where I felt that you faced a lot of challenges was you wanted to try to attack every single thing at the same time. And a lot of times my responsibility as a coach with all of the people inside of our program is kind of like refocusing you, mm-hmm, and saying, hey, let's just do this one thing and show me, but really show yourself that you can do this one thing really well.
Right.
So expand on that. What has that looked like for you and your experience?
So we first started with the nutrition, right? Like, mm-hmm, upping, you know, the calories and changing my macros.
Protein as your, yes, focus, all that.
So I really focused on that at first. And it was not easy in the beginning, but then I became consistent with it, right? And then I was like, okay, now I really want to focus on my, on, you know, the gym. Mm-hmm. And you were like, okay, if you can show me you can get there 3 days a week, then we could talk about, because, you know, I also wanted to change just the way that I look.
Sure.
You know, not just go to the gym just to be, you know.
Yeah. Lift. And we just had a call about this with, mm-hmm, my nutrition coach, Aram, this week, that if you want to change your physique, the best way to do it is through very specific resistance training, keyword, right, training, not just exercise.
Right.
And you recognize that.
Yeah. And I'm doing the group fitness, which I absolutely love. Like, it's because I was doing nothing prior, you know, it got me into this routine. And then I said to you, well, I want to start going and lifting on my own. So you said, show me that you can do 3 days at, you know, your group fitness, then we can start adding in the day. And now we've gotten to that point.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do everything at once. I was like, okay, well, I want to change my macros. I want to go to the gym. And honestly, if I did that, I would have burned out. And I guarantee you, I would have went back to, I'm lazy, I can't do it. Because that's just how I am. I get overwhelmed. And then I'm like, I'm just not going to do any of it. So I appreciate, you know, taking it one step at a, mm-hmm, time. And even though hearing that you're like, oh, I can only do one thing first, it's so worth it. It really is.
Yeah. And I think it's also to show yourself that you can do that and have the follow through on it too. Mm-hmm. Because again, it just goes back to the story that you're telling yourself. You mentioned feeling overwhelmed as being a reason for self-sabotage. Something else that I hear often, conversations that I have with potential clients even, is that they, by the time they would consider a program like the Fitness Fix, they've already tried 1,000 things. So their new theory is that maybe it's just that they haven't put in, like, taken all of those things and put them all together. Mm-hmm. So they need to put them all together, and that's the missing link. It's not. It's the lack of consistency with doing that sort of stuff.
Yes. 100%. Yeah. The consistency is really key. I mean, I wasn't consistent for the first, like we talked about, few months. And I wasn't seeing results. Mm-hmm. And that was on me. And then the second I started to become consistent, the results came.
Outside of tracking your food and being diligent about it, and or even just outside of having conversations with me, what else do you think about the program or just the way you've changed your mindset has allowed you to be more consistent? Like, features of different things I ask you to do or ask you to think about, like, what has unlocked that for you?
I think, you know, one of the biggest things of the program that I absolutely love is the the group calls. I mean, you get to hear different ideas from everyone. And it also has that social aspect, which that's where I thrive. And so I think, you know, having those calls, having the monthly benchmark calls and being able to communicate on a daily basis through the app and stuff, I really think that that's just allowed me to get more knowledge and, you know, just grow with the program.
Yeah. And it's been cool, too, because you've been with me through a period where I've made changes to some of those features. So when we first got started, I actually didn't have that group call. So it's awesome now to see that somebody who's like kind of like seen these different phases and like iterations of what's inside of the program can then say to you, hey, I really appreciate this feature. And I love it, too. Like, after we finish that call on Tuesday nights, I just have so much energy going into the rest of the week. I like need a couple hours to decompress because I kind of get like a little bit of like a high off of it. And where I get the high is when I actually take a back seat and do less of the talking and hear you guys go back and forth with each other and give each other suggestions. It's like being like a proud like mom.
Yeah.
When you're like, oh, look at my little children. They know what they're doing, or like your students. You know what I mean?
I don't know how anyone, you know, we talked about this, you know, you'll probably be in the program for like 2 years, essentially from start to finish. And I'm like, no, like, I want to be in this forever.
I'll take you forever. Yeah. But I mean, that's such a testament to like, that's, I couldn't get a better compliment, seriously. And it's such a testament to you, though, in terms of like your commitment to recognizing a pattern in that. Maybe you have been successful for short periods of time and then you stop and then you restart. So seeing that what's going to make you successful is having that support and then saying, hey, I'm willing to make this investment in myself. So to that end, what would you say to the person who is honestly just scared to do that? I hear financial objections a lot when it comes to coaching. And listen, I get it. I had a client once who's so with us now, and I think she made a really good analogy when we talked about coaching, and she was like kind of nervous to do it. One of her reasons was because she said to me, I realized in talking to you, like, I quit everything I start. And she's like, I don't like that about myself. And I pushed back on her and I said, well, why don't you make this the thing that changes that story for you? But she said to me, she's like, I'm thinking about it this way. It's like basically a car payment. And she's like, it's not the nicest car in the world, but like, it's still a car payment. I'm like, yeah, that actually is a good analogy on how to think about this, just in terms of like, okay, how am I fitting something like this into my budget, right?
Yeah.
But just overall really understanding that is an investment in you, in your future family, and all these different areas that you're trying to change and make better for yourself. So what do you think it takes to actually believe that? Versus hear me be like, oh, yeah, it's an investment. And you could easily be like, well, of course you're going to say that because like you want us to come into the program and get the most out of it.
It's hard. I mean, I really think somebody has to almost hit like rock bottom, right?
Sure.
And it's so much easier to complain and just stay in that. Oh, it's too hard. It's too expensive. So like, I'm just not going to do it. And I think the same thing goes too with people that struggle with, you know, their mental health. They'll complain about it, but they're not going to go find a therapist.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, if this was $1 million, I'd still probably pay, because at the end of the day, if you don't invest in yourself, you're not going to make changes. And you really have to, like, you know, and we've talked about it. Some of my friends, you know, that have explored the program, and it comes back to money too. And I'm like, well, if you spend money on going out to eat every weekend, you spend money on your nails every other week, I mean, that stuff adds up.
Yeah.
You can maybe cut that out for a little bit and then do this program. I mean, you can make it work. I get it. Unless there's really something that you just can't. But most of the time you can make it work.
It's, yeah.
It really comes down to how serious you are.
Yeah. And honestly, it's also important to me that the person sees it as an investment, because there are so many times where like somebody will sign up for the program and I don't hear from them. And I've had this conversation with you. Like, why don't you share just about like the check-in process and what that's like for you and how you look forward to it?
Literally wait for Monday. I'm like, okay, is it Monday? Like, where's my check-in form? I don't understand how somebody's going to be in this program and not do the check-ins and what's required. I just can't understand that. But for me, I'm like, okay, let me show off my week, whether it was good or bad. Like, this is my chance to shine. And if there were areas that I struggled in, then we can work together on how to improve that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way you're going to grow.
Right.
And not every week is going to be perfect. I've learned that. And as much as I'm like, okay, I want this week to be perfect, so when I check in, I can get an A+ on this report. But, you know, there's always going to be weeks where it's off and that's okay. But if you're consistent, those weeks off aren't going to affect you as much.
Mm-hmm. Outside of really changing your mindset, I think is being like one of the biggest benefits that you've seen that isn't physical, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
What are some other areas that you feel like you've seen a lot of benefit from and being a part of this that maybe you didn't think would be like a byproduct of signing up for a fitness and nutrition related program?
I mean, just the way that I feel like about everything. I mean, I just feel like I'm just a happier a person because I don't feel so restricted in life. Like I'm not like, oh, I can't eat that. Like I can go out, I can eat what I want, I could drink what I want if I wanted to. And it just makes the day just so much better. You know, like I'm more positive. I feel like if I'm talking to people about things, I have, you know, really cool things to discuss.
Sure.
If they're talking about food, I can chime in and help them. I don't know. It's just like, I'm like, maybe I'm a coach too.
Yeah. No, totally. But that's how, like, when you start to better yourself, other people do as well.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have kids yet, but no. I think a sweet spot of the Fitness Fix is we have a lot of moms in the program. Yes. And something that I always go back to with them is you can't pour from an empty cup. And you need to do this so that you can be the mom you want to be. You can be the partner you want to be, the employee you want to be, the sister you want to be. There's so many roles that we all wear and so many different hats that we wear. And just really getting people to see that perspective.
Right.
And that can come up in lots of different forms, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's a conversation with your mom or your sister or your husband, like whoever.
Yeah. And I think, too, just the way that I've changed, like it also motivates other people. Mm-hmm. You know, like my husband, he's like, well, I want to eat what you're eating. Like, you're eating so good. Like, and that looks delicious. I want to do that. And my friends are like, you look great. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, it affects everyone.
Yeah. And I want to shift a little bit because when we were talking about challenges, I meant to bring this up too. And we talked about it pre-recording. You've had some roadblocks, even just in like your environment. Because you didn't have an oven and your yes. kitchen was getting redone. So talk to me about that in the form of a lot of the excuses that people give, mm-hmm. like not having the time or not having certain tools, whatever mm-hmm. they are, because you actually experienced that.
Yeah. I'm shocked that looking back, like all that I've done with. So in January of this year, we gutted our entire kitchen and it's still not done. Almost.
Slowly but surely.
Almost done. My husband's doing the whole thing and, you know, he works. So on his off time, he'll do it. I didn't have an oven or a stovetop until 2 days ago, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So excited. But I was like, all right, there's no way I'm eating out every night. Mm-hmm. And I'm not getting takeout either. It's just too much and it's not going to be the healthiest option for me. So there's the grill. I grilled everything you could think about. I mean, frozen like potatoes or something.
Yeah, you put things on there that I wouldn't even think to put on.
No, I was like, I'm going to find a way to make this work. And I did. And that's when I saw the most progress. The last, like we talked about, mm-hmm. 2 months when I all I did was grill. I mean, but it would be so easy for somebody without everything they have in the kitchen just to be like, I'm going out to eat. But to go out to eat every single night, I mean, there's the money that you could spend on going into a program.
The first coach I ever had pointed that out, that like one of their selling tactics always was the fact that like your problem, he could guarantee it. He's mm-hmm. like, I guarantee you go out 3 times a week, 4 times a week. And because of what I'm going to ask you to do, you are going to think twice about that. And there you go. That's going to be the money that you put towards mm-hmm. coaching immediately. And it's so true. And I also think we really try to be as solution oriented as possible in that when you first told me that was happening, because we started together like 2 months before that, we knew it was coming.
Yes.
And I had said to you, I remember I was like, just laundry lists of like, what about rotisserie chicken? What about turkey deli meat? What about rice cakes? What about what can we make in the microwave? Can you get an air fryer? Like, mm-hmm. I think we even said at one point, let's go to your mom's house.
I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would go there. I would drive the 15, 20 minutes, cook, prep there, bring it home. I mean, it was a pain, but I was getting it done. Mm-hmm. And that's what it took to see results. And I'm happy I did it. I really am. Of course, there were times that we would be like, this is way too hard. Like, we have to get takeout tonight. But that also, the things that I was ordering were so different than the things I would order in the past. You know, mm-hmm. like I would have gone to McDonald's, honestly, through the drive-thru every single night. But, you know, I was getting either like a turkey, you know, sandwich, like a sub, yeah, or, you know, chicken tacos without all the, you know, and figuring it out. But, you know, it's so easy to make excuses. It really is. And especially when you have everything going against you, but you can do it.
And what we really try to remind clients too is, and I think you're right at this point now, I might have even said this to you in your check-in this past week, look at the progress you've made when you've had more things stacked against yes. you. If you know that you can handle it and you can make even 10% progress or even 1% progress mm-hmm. under those circumstances, now we're on the other side. It's going to be so much easier.
I know.
And like the minute you had your oven and your stove, you sent me a picture of your food. You're like, this is life changing.
And I love to cook. You know yeah. that. So mm-hmm. I was like, I'm in my element. Like, this is everything I want. So yeah. super excited. Going to start thinking of more creative recipes. And
now, what would you say to somebody who doesn't like to cook if they feel that that's a reason why they've been unable to reach a certain goal or lose weight?
Listen, not a lot of people don't like to cook, yeah. but there's options. You know, I would just say, does your spouse or somebody else in the house cook? But I mean, there's always, you know, and we've talked about it, Trader Joe's. I mean, there's pre-made things that are also really good options too. So, I mean, people can have excuses all they want, but there's so many options now. There really are.
If there is one kind of like, you know, I call them food rules that you came into the program with that you've completely abolished, what is it and how did that happen for you?
Like something that I was like, I can't eat this.
Yeah, like I can't eat this, or like if I choose this thing, it's going to make me fat, or like, you know, onion that kind rings. Of stuff.
Onion rings. I love onion rings. And I just was like, from, you know, previous coaching, I was like, if I eat that, I'm going to get fat.
Yeah.
I've eaten a lot of onion rings in the past few months and I've lost weight. Yeah. So it really goes to show it's not what you're eating. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, how much of it you're eating, if it fits into your day. I mean, you could really make anything work. Of course, I'm not going to have onion rings every day. I would love to, but yeah. it's just not.
Yeah.
That's not healthy. But yeah, I mean, I really, nothing is off limits for me now. And it was funny in the beginning, and I think we've talked about this too. Some people would be like, well, you're working with a coach, but why are you eating that?
Yeah.
Which drives me insane. And same thing too. There's some people, you know, at my gym now, they do nutrition and they're like, I don't eat any carbs, no carbs. I'm like, you're working out. Like, you need those carbs. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy now how I see things so differently.
What, and I think even like with the onion ring example, that's a good one, because I think there was a point recently where we were like kind of going back and forth about what you really wanted to order at this restaurant. And you were like, oh, I really want the onion rings. And you wound up figuring it out on your own that if you had a smaller portion and then you changed, like, I feel like you had like fish tacos.
Yes.
I remember yep. this, like, for all the food I look at, like, this stands out in my mind. And you figured out a way to change that because it was a priority for you to yes. have the onion rings. So like, walk the average person through that. Like, what's our philosophy on that and how to think about that?
So the first thing I did was I wanted to make sure I would get my protein in. Mm-hmm. So I always think protein. Okay. So as soon as I was able to figure out my protein, I figured out the carb, and then I saw how much fat I had left for the day. And I take my phone out at every single restaurant all the time. And I'm like, all right, let me see. And I was like, all right, I could have 8 onion rings, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And still have macros left over mm-hmm. if I wanted to have dessert or a drink or whatever I wanted. But I always, always prioritize the protein, then figure out, you know, the fat and the carbs. And I got to have really good fish tacos, tons of protein in it. And then I was still able to enjoy the onion rings. It was fantastic.
Yeah, love it.
That's the way I want to live. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, I can only eat this one leaf of lettuce and this one piece of fish and that's it. Like, that's not realistic. And nobody wants to live that way.
It's not going to last.
No.
No. Well, we're coming up to the top of our time here. I know we could talk forever.
Yes.
We'll have to have you on for another episode because this is fun. And I'm excited to do more of these with yes. more of our clients. I usually end every episode with a little lightning round and okay. ask fun questions.
Okay.
So we're going to do it. Okay. I'm not high pressure on the lightning round. I always tell everybody, I'm like, it's a lightning round, but if you needed time to answer, I'll give you time to answer.
Okay.
Okay. So let's see. We didn't talk a ton about like the working out side of things. So let's start with that. if you could only do one exercise, one movement for the rest of your life, just one, what would it be?
Bent over rows.
Why?
I love them. I don't know. I just, every week I do more weight and I just feel so strong doing them.
Okay.
I think
I've had a couple women on the show, and other fitness coaches even, and we all agree back exercises for females, so underrated, mm-hmm. but so important.
Yeah.
If you work on your back and you get more muscular, it also gives the illusion of a tighter waist. But people don't think about that.
All right. There you go.
So there you go. Opposite end of the spectrum, least favorite exercise.
Probably a squat just because of my knee situation. Mm-hmm. I like it, but like it's not my favorite.
Okay. Outside of The Fix, what's one of your favorite podcasts that you listen to?
My gosh, to be honest, I was never a podcast person.
I didn't know that.
Never until okay. I started listening to The Fix. And then occasionally I would listen to, I think it's called Back to the Beach with Kristen Cavallari and Steven from Laguna Beach because I like love reality TV. So I occasionally would listen to that. But I get my friends every day are like, why don't you listen to these podcasts? But I need to get on them.
I know we talked a lot about some of the misconceptions around OCD in mm-hmm. particular, but if there's just one thing that you could change about the conversation of mental health in general, what would that be?
I just think that, you know, if somebody is struggling, they should be able to talk about it. Everyone is struggling with some form of mental health really at any point of the day. And I just feel like if you ask for help, you should be able to get it. No questions asked.
Yeah. Yeah. No judgment either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just like changing the stigma around mm-hmm. it. Totally agree. We did this a little bit on our episode where we kind of showed everybody one of our group coaching calls and we talked about goal setting and health. And I'm curious for you, that exercise asks you to kind of think about what healthy looks like in your life. So how has, think like pre-Fitness Fix and currently inside of the Fitness Fix, how has your definition of what it means to be healthy changed?
To me, being healthy used to be like lettuce, fruit, and like that's it. Now I'm eating whatever I want and like I'm still really healthy. And that is how I've changed. I can still eat the foods that I want and I'm so much happier and honestly healthier too.
And now that you've really started down this path and just changed the way you look at food, what is a goal that you're committing to for the rest of 2023?
A goal, boy, this one's gonna be tough. I mean, I have a lot of goals, but I just really want to continue to be consistent with my protein.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge for me because once I get that protein in, it really affects the whole rest of the day for me and how I feel. But I really want to stick to this like 1 to 0 drinks on the weekend. Okay. That is just a really big goal of mine. I'm proud of myself for how far I've come so far with it. And it just made such a difference. And I really want to stick it out.
Awesome. We're going to do it. I have total faith. I love that. That's great. So if there's one message that you could leave people with from this entire conversation, we talked about a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. If somebody was going to turn off this episode and they could only take away one piece of advice, piece of information, something from it, what would you want to leave them with?
Really two things. If you're struggling with your mental health, reach out to anyone, including me. I mean, you could reach out to me if you want. I'll point you in the right direction. And if you want it bad enough, you'll do it.
Yeah. I love that. So true. So true. Well, I'm super proud of you. I'm super excited that we're literally only just getting started in your journey. So I know we were like joking about being inside of the program for 2 years versus forever, but you know, I'll support you as long as you want it. And as long as you get to the point where you say to me, hey, I don't need you anymore. Like that's mm-hmm. how I know that I've done my job as a coach and what we really want everybody to experience inside of the Fitness Fix program. So again, super proud of you, super appreciative of you coming on here and sharing more about your experience and being open and like you said, just being more open about mental health to hopefully cultivate that for somebody else. So for anybody who's listening to this, I think another thing that we should point out is if you do struggle or you feel like there's somebody in your life who is struggling and doesn't know how to bring it up mm-hmm. to you, use a podcast like this to facilitate that conversation. That could be about their health. Mm-hmm. That could be about their mental health. I think even sometimes when we want something better for someone in our lives, but we also want it to be their idea. it's really hard to broach that subject. And podcast episodes, conversations like this can be a way to do it.
Absolutely.
So that's a PSA to share the show, obviously, which we appreciate. And most importantly, if you got all the way through to the end of this conversation and you haven't been convinced to potentially consider coaching with us, I don't know why you listened this long, honestly, but we have spots open coming through the end of August. Our roster is getting pretty big these days, I will say, so we're going to keep it kind of small and through the rest of this month only going to open it up to a few people. So that is your announcement to go ahead, fill out our coaching application. It's linked down in the show notes. Let's just have a conversation. Even if you leave that conversation with 2-3 goals that you can commit to for the rest of the year, I know that I did my job and I'll be super happy to support you in any way that I can. And if you have questions about our program and just want to slide into the DMs, shoot me a message. You can message me. You could probably even message Amanda. I think she'd be happy to talk more about it too. So I will link both of our Instagrams down in the show notes and from wherever you guys are listening from. That's all we got for you. So hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.